on the road, in the car, or settled back with a jar. I always has one at 11. ABC local radio, that's where you are. Can you smell the liniment? Feel the butterflies, it's match day. And you're on your way with the Caribbean champions, Jeffy, the team. If you please.
Thank you, Uncle. It's not actually Jeffy, it's Covey here this morning kicking off proceedings. I'm in at the centre bounce because Richo's come down with a hot spot. It was Billy Baxter that had the hot spot a couple of weeks ago, but it's now been transferred to Richo, who's been sidelined. But I'm coming to you live with the remainder of the Could Have Been champions from the Midiamo Football Club in the Loddon Valley League. And Greg Champion's made the long trip. Morning, Champy.
I'm over here in the cold spot.
No, you've got the heater.
But it's still the lovely, lovely calm breeze, balmy breeze blowing from the Mitiamo fields here this morning. And good morning to you too.
Good, and morning to Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning, Covey, and good morning, Champy, and whoever else is listening out there. And I believe they had a good drop yesterday in Mitiamo.
I got the advice as I was making my way up yesterday, because we had an advance party come up with Ronnie. Rotten Ronnie's back with us today, and young Andy.
Yep.
And someone said, don't worry about the football. The farmers will be happy because it was raining. And, in fact, I heard President Trevor Mitchell from the footy club this morning saying, tipped 21 mils out of the gauge this morning.
Oh, very good.
And someone else said, I only got 18.
Yeah, yes.
So it's all good. And
there was a good drop all across Victoria because I was going to Geelong last evening in Big R, and it was belting down everywhere, as you know, and on the G. And disappointing, though, about the trip to Geelong. Not enough road work. But Western Ring Road's making up for it.
Good.
Holy smoke.
And they're making up for it in Bendigo,
that's
too.
That's right. You'd be happy to know that Bendigo has got plenty of road works on the go as we speak.
Well, I took the roundabout route and didn't go there.
No. We got a strange detour through Eaglehawk.
Yes.
Oh, well, you had to go through Eaglehawk or you'd probably end up in Kerrang.
Yeah.
But, Cove, I want to share with you on my route here this morning.
Just before you do, there's one other member of the panel to introduce. Is Billy Baxter, who I'm looking at an empty chair. Billy, where are you?
Look, I've had to come back to the studio.
Yeah.
Hello there, gentlemen. Hello, listeners.
G'day, Billy.
When we left the studio last week, did you not say that we'd be broadcasting from the MCG?
Yeah, the Mitiamo Cricket Ground.
Oh, for goodness sakes. I was at the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
You ding-dong.
I've only just made it back in here to the studio to find out what's going on.
Well, that's good. We've got someone back at headquarters. Just before Champs gives us his story of travelling, as I said, I came up last night, Billy.
Yes.
And we were staying locally at Prairie Park.
Prairie Park.
And I tell you, we actually had a look at... Look, the telecast they got of the Geelong St Kilda game had St Kilda winning. What happened on the telecast back in Melbourne?
I've got very bad news for you.
Yeah.
That was one and the same telecast.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, well, we saw at half time that Geelong were ahead, so we went to the kitchen to have dinner. Patsy, that's the president's wife, Patsy, she cooked up a meal for about 20 people, and we had to sit there and eat it. And by the time we went back to the TV room, St Kilda were in front by about 4 goals.
Well, see, you've committed the cardinal sin, because what happens when your mother gets out of her chair when she's watching the cricket to get a cardigan?
We lose the ashes.
That's correct. That's you've gone to the kitchen to put your snout in the trough, and we've lost the game.
Oh, dear. So we're concentrating on country footy today, then, given that result. We'll talk to Gerard after midday about the events of last night. But here that Mitiamo under-17s have kicked off to a very good start against Inglewood. They're 3-0. It looks like a soccer score at the moment. 3-0.
That's right. Although they are kicking with the aid of a substantial breeze there, Covey.
I think I reckon the breeze could get even more substantial here if it cared to.
And with the flatness of the ground and these sort of paddocks and fields that we can see, it's got a Craigie Burn look about it, hasn't it?
All the fields of Casey.
And Champy, if I can just interject, I noticed that Ian and Torch said they were in Mitiamo. Where are you this morning?
Well, I nearly didn't make it to Mitiamo. We say Amo,
you.
Do we?
Thank you.
Well, you're from South Australia. You can say Amo.
Amo, as the horns toot for a goal.
To Inglewood.
At,
yes.
At the right-hand end. To the Stripey Mob.
Is that the right of screen, is it there, Tim?
Yeah, for the listeners at home, the Kangaroos, that's Mitty, they're in the North Melbourne jumpers. Inglewood are in the Carlton jumpers.
Now, I was writing songs. I was being driven this morning and writing songs for the program on the way up, and I wasn't paying attention to where we were going, and we found ourselves in Tullaroook.
Oh, how are things?
Tullaroook.
Things are crook. We went to Tullaroook. We stopped at the Tullaroook store.
Yeah, keep going.
And we said, where are we? She said, you're in Tullaroook, and it's crook.
So while you were going by Tullaroook, we've got listeners who have travelled all the way from Lake Bolac.
Yes,
which is on the way to Hamilton, who are actually in the crowd here. They got here before you, and they came from Lake Bolac.
In fact, I went past there the other day, and it actually isn't a lake.
No.
To get out of the Tullaroook conundrum, you've got to go into the store, say, where are you? And then you get directions back towards Toobarak.
Toobarak.
Don't take the pie a long way. Go the Toobarak. So that's the 34 extra K on the journey, because you're in Seymour by now. So now you've got to go Seymour. So Seymour to Toobarak and back on the Northern Highway. So
you've gone the roundabout way. You, who was navigating for you? The Nankervis brothers.
I tell you, we went back a bit. Yeah. We went across. Yeah. And we went around the back. Yeah. And there was no way through there. So we went back around the back again.
Well, the man we should have consulted with to get you here properly is the man that's actually been instrumental in us making the trip up. Because as listeners would know, the Cotabeans like to get out to a country footy venue during the season, especially over the split round of the AFL. When there's not much happening of a Saturday afternoon, and we can get out to country footy. And the man has been urging us for about 3 or 4 years to come up here is John Forbes. And Forbes will be well known to a lot of people who play sport, because during his time at the sports apparel company that has a large cat on it.
A South American cat.
Yeah. Yes. He was looking after a lot of AFL footballers and
stars and celebrities,
cricketers and all the rest of it, and netballers. Soccer players, the whole lot. And Forbes is a product of Mitty himself, and he's been at us to come up here, and we've come up here and actually stayed at his place last night. But Forbes, he unfortunately can't be with us because he's in hospital, but he's on the line. Good morning to you, Forbesy.
Good morning, Co. Good morning, guys.
Forbesy.
Good morning.
Forbesy, how are you feeling today?
A bit better than I was yesterday, mate, but isn't it amazing? The minute you open the door, the hospital vacuum cleaner starts up.
Hey, Forbesy. Champs came via
Tullaroook.
That's like going to Adelaide to get to Geelong.
Yeah. Yes. So we might have to get you to give him directions to get him home in a more direct route.
Oh, that's the best way. Straight down the Calder.
Straight up the guts, Forbesy.
Go for the corridor, Champs.
Yeah. Right. The corridor.
I think Champs' carbon footprint increased by about 2 sizes over the
and, and Forbesy, when you're moving around that hospital, you'd be going the corridor too.
Every time, so I tell you.
Hey, Forbes, here's something else to gladden your heart. The Mitiamo under-17s are currently 3-4 to Inglewood, 1.
Good on them. They're really battling hard.
Well, the president of the club, Trevor Mitchell, also coaches the under-17s, and we warmed Trevor up at your place last night, Forbesy.
Did you lift a few roofs off a few bottles, did you?
Yeah, Trevor bought his own esky.
He's an amazing man. He coaches.
Yeah.
Rubs the gum.
Yeah.
Carries the water.
Yeah.
Looking at the full back rug down his play.
Yeah.
But he's one of the most hands-on person to have ever met, I reckon.
Yeah, we're hoping to have a chat with him a bit later, but because he's currently coaching, it's a bit difficult to do so. But he was telling us earlier that he kicked 32 goals or 33 goals one day in his footy career. It was made up of 15 in the reserves, and they put him out of the reserves and put him in the seniors, and he kicked 18 in the seniors.
Just as well he didn't get them all in one game. That would have been a turn-up. Now, Forbesy, amongst the many things that you are well known for, and Ian Cover mentioned that Forbes is quite a colourful colourful racing identity of the sport world for his work with sports people over the years. But, Forbesy, you also ran for many, many years concerts in jail, just as a good citizen to look after the folks inside, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, and it's funny, we used to go in there and we'd take the sportsmen in there, but I think it was good for everybody because the prisoners got a new look at life.
I remember going out to Petridge with you one night and I caught up with a bloke I hadn't seen for 4 years.
I ran into my old bank manager out there. I recall doing
6 jail concerts with you, and I'm sure you must. Have you lost count? How many would you have organised over the years?
Champs, I couldn't count them.
Yeah. No, but there'd be. I think you may have done that for maybe 15, 20 odd years.
The
thing about it was we were lined up there one night at a sports North Plugger, and had all these Alsatian dogs lined up as we walked in, and you know, they're good judges of characters, these Alsatian dogs. The only person they bit was Neil Celia from the River Foundation. Oh, Neil.
John, we would go in there and we would do a bit of comedy and stuff, and if they didn't feel like laughing, you didn't press the issue. You said, that's okay, don't.
And Fozzie, just talking about, you know, even though you dealt with a lot of sports people at the elite level, that there'd be no one at the elite level without grassroots sport, would there?
Well, that's the key.
And
we're witnessing. Grassroots is good. Yeah. Our sport's strong. I think America is an example of a country that's lost a complete way in sport, where they just go for the elite and there's nothing underneath it all. It's fragile. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Aussies, every little country town like Middy got footy team.
Yeah, and here we are. We're at Middy this morning, and I reckon that there are more people out on the ground than there are houses in the town.
I think it was 85 people.
Yeah.
Not houses,
just
people.
But they're all out here today. In fact, the under-17s, they only had 18 for the field, so they've got a couple on the interchange. And they're on permit from Bendigo. I think one boy's 12 and the other one's 11.
Yes.
And it's under-17.
I noticed that there were some fairly small fellows out there running around.
But they've got plenty of skill, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Well, Kenny Sheldon's stand off there.
Yeah, we're hoping to talk to Kenny Sheldon during the course of the program today. And we've had a good look at the honour boards around the rooms and seen pictures of Kenny and his brother.
Yep.
And we've met Ian Marlowe, who won 9 Best and Fairest.
Wow.
Did you meet his father?
No, I haven't met him. I'm sure we will. I'm not expecting...
He knows a couple of things. I think he won about 7 or 8, but he rode his bike down the Maloga Hill when he was 14 and he's still at the club. And he's now 81.
And John Forbes, you have done a lot of community service in your life. Well, just by the way, have you ever been honoured?
Yeah, Forbes, OIM.
OIM, that's what we like to hear.
And you know it stands for OIM, don't you, Greg?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Out at meetings.
Out at meetings. Yeah, I was going to say ordinary Australian male.
That's right.
And amongst your other great achievements... You ran the helped organise the Sunshine Sports Club functions for years and years, and brought so many good people to Sunshine to speak for nothing, didn't you?
I did.
He brought them up here too because we heard a story last night how Spider came up here once. This is great. Plugger's been here. Spider, Spider came here. And there was a fella. Was there a fella that fancied himself as a good kick?
He was.
Can you tell us the story of what happened?
Well, Spider, as I say, is a bit fragile, Spider. We come out in a little Suzuki or something car with a heap of kids. I said, how the hell do you drive it, let alone, you know, sort of hammies and all sort of stuff. Anyway, he and this guy had decided to have a kick-off to see who kicked the furthest. And, of course, inevitable happened. Snap went the hamstring. We had to tuck him away, and I said, do it when you walk out on the track tomorrow morning.
So Spider had to go back to the club.
Yes.
And pretend he'd hurt himself at training back there.
It's a bit like, a bit like those blokes who used to claim compo when they got hurt on a Saturday afternoon playing footy.
Of course, the other thing that Forbes is well known for was 20 years as chairman of the Blue Ribbon Foundation. So... done a lot of great work, and anyway, everyone up here at Midian, it's in the footy record today as well here, or the LV the LV, Loddon Valley Footy League record.
In
here today, there's a little message to you from all the people at MIDI. So, and we'll relay that as well to you, Forbes, to get well quickly. I know everyone's looking forward to seeing you and Faye back at the club.
Thanks, Gary.
Good on
you. I'd like to thank the guys that, excuse me, that tried to get a helicopter. John with a wonderful army up there, but the doc said I was too crook.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They've even mowed a patch down behind the goals where they were going to land the helicopter.
Oh, I know, mate.
I was No, don't worry about it, Forbes. You get yourself right.
Oh, Forbes,
you just have a good time up there because it's a great club.
Yeah. Well, I don't expect to get home till about Tuesday. Okay.
So you can say, Covey, that he's a couple of weeks away.
He's a couple of weeks away, week after next.
No Australian will be more deserving of their OAM than John Forbes.
Well done, Forbes.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. John Forbes, who's a legend up here at MIDI, and hoping to see him back in action here. And just as the second quarter started here, I think that was the President's boy that just burst out of the centre and kicked the ball too. Oh, the boy about to kick the ball here for MIDI plays the bagpipes. He had to miss a couple of games because he had a bagpipe carnival on and didn't want to break his fingers before he went and played the bagpipes.
Oh, and it's just across the face of the goal and through for one behind.
Actually, we've got a bit of... There's tea on tonight at the rooms after the game. I'm going to stay on and have a few of the locals. But we've got a bit of competition over in Bort tonight.
Oh, really?
I noticed in the local paper, in the Loddon Times, that the Welsh Male Choir's performing at Bort tonight.
I saw the sign to Bort as I drove into Mitty Armo, and I thought, well, Bort was the place I got lost at on our last trip.
Yeah, can you get lost? Where were you attempting to get to on that occasion?
Woomerlang, wasn't it? Yeah, Woomerlang.
Yeah.
And went to Bort when I shouldn't have, but needed to because we were low on petrol and we had to take a detour to Bort. So Bort's been good to me. Once in a while along the way, Bort's been good to me.
Covey, you mentioned that you're going to tea tonight.
Yes.
At the club. That's very quaint. Has MIDI organised a pleasant Sunday morning for you as well?
We haven't got that far, Billy, but I'm sure there's every chance of a return to traditional values. I've got to tell you, if we can get a list later, there's a list lying around for the upcoming goods and services auction night that's on here on the 31st of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share some of the items with the listeners when we get a copy of that list, Andy, because we were just earmarking a few of the items when we saw it last night. Billy,
yes.
I'll share that with you. Oh, number 13, Jake Parrish has just popped one through for MIDI, and they go to 4-7. Can I just, Billy?
Yes, Covey?
Can I just share some of the names of the boys with you that are playing here for MIDI and Inglewood?
Yeah, love to hear them.
From the under-17s, MIDI have got a Roman, Harley, Caleb.
Oh, these are Christian names.
Yeah. Darby, Riley.
Yeah.
And there's a Hayden. You'll be pleased to know there's a Bill in there, which is good, and a Harry.
Yep.
And over at Inglewood, Nolan, Brody, Braden, Jared, Corey, Devon, Josh, Caleb, Kane, and Zeus.
Is there a good? Is there?
Are you sure you're in the country, Co?
I'm not sure.
Is there a Caleb on both sides?
Yeah. Oh. One with a K and one with a C. Oh.
Just
no, they're both with K's.
Look.
Later on, I'll go and read you. I'm going to go in with a roving mic and read you the names of the players from the 1927 Premiership team.
There'll be George and Desmond.
Well, I wouldn't upset the footy guides if I was you, Billy, because Zeus will be right on here.
Yes, matey. I fear my Greek gods.
You're listening to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Midiamo Football Club in the Loddon Valley League. We're just up north of Bendigo. And they're playing Inglewood here today.
It was nearly the Sodden Valley League this week.
It was. Billy.
Yes, Covey.
Now, you're always doing work around your house.
Yes.
Do you need any excavating work done?
Well, look, there is a little area in the backyard, yes. What do you got for me?
Well, the goods and services auction coming up on July 31st. Ian Rankin has donated 2 hours of excavation.
Excavation?
Yeah. Peter Rowe and Ian Marlowe have donated a bag of dog food.
Yeah.
Stan Pollock.
Yeah.
Thank you to Stan. He donated 2 tonne of wood. Right?
That's all right.
Yeah. A bit further on, Billy.
Unfortunately, you have to chop the wood yourself.
There's 2 hours of welding on offer.
Yes.
Some lamb marking.
Right. Is that markings or droppings?
No, it's marking. Right. We'd like to thank Jackson Falls for the lamb marking. 2 hours of carpentry.
Yeah.
And Annette Grant.
Yep.
She has donated a haircut.
And which I know which hair?
Billy could do with a haircut.
And the president told us last night, Annette has not cut hair for 20 years.
Is that Billy Grant's Mrs. Is it Cove?
Yep, exactly right.
Billy's the senior coach of Mitty.
He is indeed, yep, and we'll be talking to him as well. And if you are going down to the market, Billy, and you want to buy some sheep or cattle,
yes,
Ash Wilson has donated the use of his trade truck to cart your sheep or cattle to or from the market. Okay.
Isn't that good how they all chip in?
It is good. Fantastic.
That's the bush way.
Oh, there's also a Graham Thomas truckload of sheep available too. That's we've got to get some stuff to donate to that.
No doubt. And there's a score update. Midiano has just scored another goal into the breeze.
Mm. Very good.
That brings them up to 5-7 to one goal.
Now, Champy, do you want to share perhaps a song you might have written in the car on the way up here today?
I was hoping you wouldn't throw to songs because, A, I've got to get my fingers out of my coat.
Okay.
And B, the wind will blow the songs away. However, I'm ready and willing. And
now, Champy, I heard something during the week which I thought I'd never hear.
Yeah.
I heard you do a song with a New Zealand accent.
Oh, did you? Did that get played, did it?
It did, yes.
Yeah. I'll do that this morning.
Oh, okay.
In the second hour of the program.
Okay. Good. Look forward to that.
Yes. I'm ready for you, Kurt.
Yeah. A very brave decision to go with the accent, I must say, Champ.
Why brave?
Well, you know, things can go wrong.
All right.
Someone told me it sounded like the guru.
Now, we're going to have a chat to the first of our guests here at MIDI. I suddenly got reverb in my headphones, Ron. If you just
get out of that tunnel there, Kobe.
Thank you. The first of our guests, just Andy's bringing up to the outside broadcast position here at MIDI, and it's Patsy Mitchell. Patsy's the wife of the President Trevor, and we've dragged, I think, her. We just help her with the headphones here, pop those on, Patsy. And they've even got a little guitar strum intro. Morning to you, Patsy.
Good morning.
And have we dragged you away from the canteen?
Yeah.
And what are you, is that your normal Saturday routine out at the home games, to get into the canteen early?
Yeah, pretty well much. And then half time I take photos of the juniors and go take some photos of the junior netball as well.
And
got a song for you, Patsy. We love you, Patsy. Oh, yes, we do. In sunny weather, we love you too.
And about the reason here earlier, of course, is your husband Trevor is coaching the under-17s and your son Billy?
Billy's playing in the under-17s and Opal is in the under-15s in the netball.
Opal?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What was that Christian name again?
Opal.
A young man called Opal.
Australian name there. Not in the netball, Champy.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Now pay attention, please.
Well, I was too busy writing Patsy songs.
Okay. And obviously for you and Trevor and the kids as well, a lot of your life revolves around the footy club. You must love being here, Patsy.
Yeah, we do. The football club is not only about, you know, playing football and playing netball, it's about community.
Yeah.
And we're all part of it, just a larger community, and we keep going to keep the community going and something for the kids, and we have a lot of fun doing it at the same time.
Now, the first thing you notice when you come here is what magnificent condition the ground is in. Are you on the tractor? Do you have to go out and cut the grass?
No, good thing I don't have to, because it'd be a bit choppy. No, the boys take a lot of pride in looking after the oval, and it's always very well presented and try to keep it watered. It's been a bit of a problem with the drought, but they seem to organise it somehow, which is really good.
And as well, they've got the lights here for night training and all, and this massive communications tower, which is the carrier for the most prominent Australian telecommunications outfit.
Yes,
and I can't get a signal on my phone. They can see that tower from the moon. And look, not one bar on here. So I just let family know I'm okay, I made it here.
You may be gone for quite some time.
You will be able to get onto some internet gambling sites, okay?
Yeah, as long as we can get on the quarter. <That's talk. right. laughs> And then, Patsy, tonight, because after a home game, is it always regular to have a tea after the home game?
Always, yeah. Always. Yeah, we have. We do different things. Tonight, Sandy and I, and the boys, we've got boys that look after the spit for us. We've got a roast, and Stan and Kathy have made a pumpkin soup as well. Oh. We've got supper, homemade cakes afterwards.
Oh, magnificent.
And we do things like pasta nights and roasts with all the trimmings. And, yeah, we try to do different things and keep the prices down.
And, yeah. Well, and the other thing that we noted with great sadness as we swung into the bustling main street last night was that the pub has closed down.
Yes.
So the footy club becomes even more important as a community hub then, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And Thursday nights is very busy because the club's open for all the community to come. And we always put meals on the Thursday night as well. Like last Thursday night we had a pasta night and they had spaghetti carbonara and bolognese and lasagna and we've had souvlaki, so we just try to do different things.
Well, now, it's not always bright and sunny as it is today. How do you keep yourself warm?
That's why I work in the kitchen.
And I've got to say, the kitchen is spotless too. We walked in through there last night and Ron and Andy didn't wipe their feet. Dirty footmarks all on the linoleum.
So Patsy, the footy club becomes the pub for a country town.
Yes, it does when you've got no pub. Yeah, it really does. Mm. Yeah.
How many nights a week?
Thursday's the big night.
Thursday night's the big night.
So you haven't gone to 7 week trading yet, have you?
No. Oh, hell no. No, I've got a full-time job as well.
I mean, Monday could be Palmer night, of course. Well, Tuesday's...
Well, Patsy cooked tea for us last night, and the spread that was put on, I thought you must have been preparing for tonight, you know, for 120 people or something.
Sorry.
We have champs. You would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Meatballs, pork chops.
What, do they have meat in them?
There was some pasta and a lovely Caesar salad you would have enjoyed.
Yum, yum.
Mind you, the Caesar salad had bacon in it.
I'm coming to your place, Patsy.
And we did notice also on the sign outside the canteen, among the traditional fare of pies, dim sims, focaccia.
That was Sandy and a couple of the other ladies last time. We've got focaccias and baked potatoes.
Yeah.
And we try to do different things.
And the other thing, which was a real eye-opener, is that you can come in and get a real coffee made by a guy over there with a little van, Steve.
Yeah.
And he was knocking out the cafe lattes and the cappuccinos and the short blacks for people.
Short blacks? Yeah. In the bush?
In the bush.
Short black. You should have fat blacks.
I fully expected to hear Billy chime in at that stage when he heard the mention of short backs.
Now, my ears did prick up, Covey. Patsy, go ahead, Cove.
Yeah, I was just going to say, your mouth must be watering at all the food you're missing out on, Billy.
I can't believe it. But another thing I can't believe is how a country town can let its pub close down. Patsy, why is there no pub?
That's probably a long and complicated story, and I don't know if I should get into that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's a bit of local politics involved, is there?
Not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there might have been an issue. Now, I'll brief you when I get back, Billy.
Okay, and just before you go on, I'm here in the studio, as you know.
Yeah.
I can see the text message screen, and Wade has texted in to say Zeus is pronounced Zaius.
Oh, because it is spelled Z-A-U-S. You're quite right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because, I mean, Zeus is a funny name, but Zaius, now I understand.
Oh, yeah, well, his name is actually Zaius Wade.
Oh, right.
So that might be a family member that's pointed it out. Well, my apologies.
I once saw Jeff Leake and Zaius Wade off the ground.
Hey, we've brought that gag into the 21st century, Billy. With a new name. That's magnificent. Patsy, we better let you get back to the your duties and
good
Sandy
right.
as well. There's a queue now forming because you aren't there to serve. That's great. And thank you for your hospitality last night.
We'll be definitely in there during the break.
Don't worry about that.
Yes.
I'll be here for
that. I'm looking forward to that focaccia.
And as usual, Patsy, it's folks like you, and especially you, that are keeping this town together and holding this country together.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you.
Exactly.
No wonder I'm tired.
Thanks, Patsy.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Patsy. And I think there's been another goal just popped through for Mitty, are turning it on.
Yeah.
There must be some boys in these under-17 side, because they've only won, I think, two games for the year, who have just waited for the media to turn up and they've turned it on,
A bit like North Melbourne playing on a Friday night. They just love being in the spotlight.
Because they've gone to like 6-7 or something. And even, We've even got Ian Benny Bennett from the local footy show that's seen on Channel 31. He's up here covering the country footy. And these boys are going to get themselves on television with this sort of form.
Do you think we can get on Channel 31 if we play our cards right?
You'll listen to the Could Have Been Champions. We're coming live from Mitty Ammo in the Loddon Valley League. They're playing Inglewood here today. And this is no doubt typical of what's been played out at country footy grounds, the length and breadth of the state, and of course in southern New South Wales as well.
As we speak.
As we speak.
Now, I notice that Chance has still got his hands in his pocket.
No, just keep them there for a minute longer because Justin Watts is just going to join us for a quick chat because he's got to go and prepare the 12 o'clocks.
And Watto is a classic country bushman because he's in the short sleeves.
Yeah. Actually, get the microphone up here.
And very cold too.
That's right.
Now, Justin, you're a co-coach of the twos with Ross Smith.
Yes, we've been doing it. This is our first year together, and it's been really good fun. It's a good guy to do it with.
So he hasn't moved against you during the week and had a bit of backyard dealings with the boys, has he?
Oh, we actually dropped him last week. He's been struggling a bit in the late game, and he came back last week and got best on the ground, so we've lost him again.
Oh, so he'll be playing in the ones, will he?
Yeah, he's back in there, yeah.
And do you play as well?
Oh, some may call it that. yes, most of the time.
In the twos?
Yes.
What position?
Preferably up the other end where the ball's not. This week in the back pocket or back flank?
Oh, that's right. Back pocket's perfect.
Does that give you a good position to have a good overview of the ground and the team and how they're going?
Yes, we're sort of struggling for numbers this week, so I'll try and pay a fair way back from the ball and just have a good look.
Well, it's about 2 degrees here. Did you leave your fleecy jacket at your mum's place or what?
I actually got a ride up here to be here earlier. My darling wife's bringing that up for me.
Oh, well, come on, darling wife.
There were these under-17 boys were out here at 9 o'clock having a warm-up, and they were just in T-shirts and shorts, and it was 6 degrees.
I mean, what would Tommy Hafey do? He'd be here in his T-shirt. Update.
Yeah, but Tommy's more.
Half-time.
Midiamo 7-7. Inglewood 1-2.
How are the reserves going this year?
Yeah, we're going well. We had a big game against Morong last week, so now we're fourth. We're going not too bad. Just as long as everyone's switched on, we're not a bad side.
How many teams in the competition?
Nine.
Yeah, nine.
Okay, so top four.
Yeah, top four, and hopefully we hold on to fourth and maybe try and pinch third.
And do you have in the reserves, boys that also play under 17s? To make up the numbers for you?
Not as a rule. This year's been really good with numbers, but today we've got two of the young juniors stepping up for the twos for the first time for the year, so good luck to them too.
And at the other end of the scale, you've got a few blokes that just can't give it up?
Yeah, I'm one of them. we've got a few older guys, but we need old guys, we need young guys, we need everyone we can get, and the numbers generally have been really good this year, so it's been good.
Well, we'll be there in 3 hours.
Yeah, Billy just said he'd be in 3 years, 3 hours. Unfortunately, Justin hasn't got the headphones on, so he didn't hear that, Billy, so I had to relay it. But we met Ash when we arrived. He was leaning on the fence. I said, g'day, Ash.
And Ash who?
Ash Fiedler.
Oh, yes, Feeds, yeah.
He says, Ash who? He's any one of his players, doesn't he?
They don't know. He's
well,
Feeds.
We don't call him Ash.
He's just Feeds.
Feeds, yeah. So he's leaning on the fence, got introduced to Ash, and someone said, what are you doing? Ash said, yeah, I'm playing today.
Well, it was quite funny. I rang him Thursday to ask him whether he could play, and he said he's happy to sit on the bench for the whole day.
He's not a regular, is it?
Oh, he has been over the years, but he got into his running. He ran a marathon last year, which was a good effort.
Right.
Yeah. And, he got injured early on in the year, and it's his first couple of games back.
And now, will Ross help you at all today? Because he's playing in the seniors. Does he have some time to help with the reserves first?
He generally just stands there and doesn't do a lot, actually. But he's very good, Jars. He's got a very good football brain. He's played a lot of football up here in country Victoria and a wealth of knowledge.
And are you a Mitty boy through and through? Or?
Yeah, Kamaruka, which isn't far away from here. And been here for about 30 years and fantastic place to be.
Right. And you did play senior footy?
Yeah, I had a few games in the seniors, about 100 or something along those lines. But it's been a few years since I have played seniors.
Right. You didn't play any flags. So the flags have been like 79, 89 or something? Or
90, yeah, 99? 99,
89. 2009?
Yeah, 2009.
Did you play in any of them?
No. The only flag I played in was down in Melbourne at Montmorency.
Oh, right, okay.
Been the Monty trot.
Then the Diamond Valley League.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and what about the twos? Have they won any flags in recent years?
Not for a long time, no. Oh, okay. We actually haven't won a finals game for 34 years, I've just been told. That's about to change this year.
Oh, good. That's obviously the two coaches' policy is changing all that.
Yeah, we'd like to think we've brought a bit to the club.
Well, if your wife doesn't bring your jacket down, I don't know where your future's going.
If she doesn't bring me jacket, I might never wear.
That's right.
All right, we better let you get along to prepare. What time's the reserves kick off?
12:30 we start.
Oh, 12. They're not the genuine 12 o'clock, so they're the 12:30.
Oh,
takes some of us a while to get going.
Oh, we look forward to that. Good on you, Justin. Justin Watts. And in the interest of equal time for Inglewood, who have made the trip across to Mitty, we say good morning to Dave Gordis.
Yep, that's right.
Good on you, Dave. And your son is going around at the moment in the under-17s?
Yeah, one in the under-17s and one in the reserves today.
Right, that's Devon is your boy out here.
Yeah, Devon.
Devon, and I'm just looking at the record to pick up the name of your other one.
Dylan.
Dylan.
Devon, right. And Dylan.
That's a very South Australian name, Champy, isn't it, Devon?
Yes, it does, yeah. Whoops, it sounded like Dylan and Devon there, but I'll get that right.
He might have been named after a famous English fast bowler, was he?
Oh, he might have been. Yeah.
Devon Melbourne.
I think it was after the meat product.
That's funny. And what about you, footy background yourself, Dave?
In the Bendigo region, I've played for North Bendigo and Bort.
Yeah.
Right,
but later on in my career. Mm-hmm. Rest of it was in Latrobe Valley.
Oh, right, eh? And the boys, they obviously love their footy.
Yeah, they've only played for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And they enjoy it.
And do you just come along and barrack, or have you got some role with the club?
I help out on the bench in the seconds. The coach actually plays. So
oh, that's...
from the bench.
That's Peter...
Mal. Mal's... Peter's had an accident early on in the year, and he hasn't come back yet.
So, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, and how are the Inglewood the seconds going this year?
They're not far off a win. They've got a lot of guys there that are only first-year players, so it might take a while for them to get their feet. But, yeah, they're having a bit of a go this year.
And the trip over from Inglewood, how far is it to here, for example?
I don't know. I live in Bendigo.
Oh, right. Okay. But most of the trips between the clubs in the Loddon Valley League is not
half an hour.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's decent. Yeah.
And you would have known a bit travelling around playing. When you played, you would have done a bit of travelling.
Yeah. There was a lot of travel involved.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you play for down in the Latrobe Valley?
Morwell East, Churchill, Cowa, William Gaffer, Ballara.
What? All those sides?
Yeah, not at once. Yeah, played for a few different sides.
You sound like you're one of those journeymen that they always talk about.
You obviously didn't stay in one town very long there.
That's right. Is there a reason for that?
Not really, no.
They chased you out of town.
And of course... Now, I know there's a great rivalry between Mitty and Kellerville, who they beat in the grand final last year.
Yep.
But obviously, these are two clubs that get on well, Inglewood and Mitty.
Yeah, they're pretty good matches. They don't seem to get too rough.
And now your son that's in the other seven is Devon.
Yep, Devon.
How old's he?
He's just turned 15.
Righto.
Yeah.
And he's been playing for 3 years already?
Yeah, in the under-17s.
Started at 12?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Is that common for at that age?
Well, they've got... tomorrow's an interleague match, and I think there's five of the under-17s that are playing in the under-15s. So they've got a very young side in the juniors as well.
I see.
Right.
So that's what you've got to do to make up the numbers?
Well, I was talking to Ian Marlowe, who's a 9-time best and fairest winner here at Mitty. He's got a son running around in the Mitty side who's 12 and started when he was 9.
Yep.
If he keeps this up, he'll play 150 games in the under-17s.
That's right. That explains why some of these guys end up playing 400 and 500 games.
Yeah.
They must start when they're about 10.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, Dave, it's great to have you here, making the trip across from Bendigo.
Yep, Bendigo.
And with the boys playing for Inglewood. We look forward to seeing your other boy, Dylan, going around in the reserves.
That's his first game back. He broke his foot against Morong in the first round in the seniors, and it's his first game back today.
Oh. And how have the Inglewood seniors been going this year? Have they won a game?
Yeah, they've won a couple of games. They'll probably win today.
Right.
But no, they've been going well.
That's
they've
throwing the challenge down to Miliamo.
I just heard that.
Yeah.
Because I was reading that the Loddon Times was tipping Mitty and the seniors to win by 9 goals.
Oh, okay.
Although the record here expects it to be about 32 points. There you go. Okay. The Superoos, however, are an awesome unit and will be extremely hard to beat on their home ground. Mitty Ammo by 32 points.
Ooh, oh, well.
But you're tipping an upset.
Okay.
I'll be close.
Close.
Well, we might be able to get some value out of that via that great big telecommunications stand over there.
Let's see if we can get the quarter quad on this game, Torchies. Hey, good on you, Dave. Dave Gortis from Inglewood. And he's got the boys playing here. All the D's. Dave, Devon and Dylan.
Yeah.
All
and Debbie and
Dakota. Oh, good. And okay, Debbie and Dakota.
Debbie and Dakota as well, playing in the netball?
About their ballet.
Ballet?
Yeah.
All right. That's good. We've heard about a bagpiper today and ballet as well.
See, there's a bit of strife when the postie delivers something for D. Goidos at your house. It's a mad scramble.
They're all fighting over the parcel when it comes.
Yeah. And all their second initials are DMG.
Is that right?
Yeah, the whole family, DMG.
Did you get a job lot on some tags to sew in the back of the school costumes or something, did you?
Sounds like it. DMG is actually a radio company, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So, anyway, it's the Could Have Been Champions coming to you live from Mitty Ammo, where they're playing Inglewood, not only in football but in netball as well. And Tara McGrath has joined us at the main comm box. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
And you're a netballer for Inglewood?
I am.
Good. And I just had a look at the ladder. Are you in the A grade?
I'm in B grade.
Oh, are you? I have to go and look at that now. Well, this is going to be a good contest because Inglewood's just ahead of Mitty in the B grade.
We are, yes. Should be a pretty close game today.
Right. And how long have you been playing netball at Inglewood?
This is my third year.
Right. And did you start in the C grade?
I did. I played 2 years in C grade and been promoted this year to B grade.
Right.
Are you one of those Inglewood players who lives in Inglewood? Or
no.
Do you come from Bendigo?
No, I travel from Bendigo.
All right. So we still don't know how long it takes to get from Inglewood.
No. Have you got your sights set on A grade, Tara? Is that the idea?
Probably not, no.
Do you want to play A grade? Is there someone we can talk to you on your behalf? And
I don't think I'm good enough for A grade.
Oh, don't say that.
Come on. Self-belief. It's very important.
Exactly.
See, I'm happy in the B.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, actually, talking of netball, because from not far from here, Lockington?
Yes.
Is the home of Sherelle McMahon.
That's right.
Yeah. And does Sherelle get up here at all to check out the local netball?
I haven't seen her myself, no.
Oh, well, I think her family might still be at Lockington. Not sure, though. Anyway. And what do you do during the week?
I work at Bendigo and Adelaide Bank.
Right.
Yes.
Good. We're on the ABC. So I have to say that you work at a bank that's named after a regional centre and the South Australian capital. All right. And training during the week?
Yes, we train Thursdays. Same night as the boys, so we're out at Inglewood, which takes 30 minutes from Bendigo.
Right, we've worked out how long it takes to get from Bendigo to Inglewood.
Right.
But Inglewood to Mitty, got no idea.
It's about 50. Not from
as the crow flies.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So training Thursday nights?
Yes.
And is there tea in at the rooms at Inglewood as well?
We alternate with the two pubs in Inglewood. And then we also have a barbecue night when we train in Bendigo one night. And then we have a casserole night, which all the netballers cook for the boys, which we just had on Thursday night.
So you've got two pubs. You couldn't lend one to Mitty Ammo, did you?
Nice touch.
They're very close to each other as well.
I reckon the two pubs, champs, it might be called the bottom pub and the top pub. Would that be it?
Just a middle pub would do.
What position do you play?
I play wing defence.
WD?
Yes, WD.
Have you always played wing defence?
Wing defence, wing attack. I like to play in the mid-court.
Yeah.
Not much of a shooter.
Because, you know, because I'm with the footy these days, everyone's a midfielder.
Yeah.
Is it getting like that in the netball, or is people really
special? Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of midfielders these days. More so, especially now, sides this year, we've got a lot in the mid-court.
But you still got, there's still those roles for those specialist goal shooters, aren't there? And
goal attacks, and goal defenders. Yes, that's the one.
Have you got a good tall goal attack player?
We have a tall goal attack player and a very tall goalkeeper.
Right. Mm. And so what time's the B grade on over here?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. We finish at one. We might go over and check out that match between Mitty and Inglewood in the B grade. Give you a bit of barracking from the sidelines, Tara.
That would be good. Maybe good. A song.
Yeah.
Maybe a song. That'll fire the girls up.
Yeah, have you got any netball songs, Greg?
Have a bit of Tarara Bumpy.
You give me half an hour, I'll think of something.
That's right. He won't guarantee to play his guitar, though.
Have you got a nickname? Are you Macca or something like that?
Taz.
Taz. Hey, Chance, work on something with Taz in it.
You know, Taz, the songs I play probably won't be known to the girls of your generation.
No, that's right. Yeah, well, if you were able to, Greg actually did requests. Have you got a favourite song? Like just from the rock and roll or contemporary music scene?
Like, say, Hokey Pokey or something?
No. Chance doesn't know any songs after the 70s.
That's so right. But they must have jukeboxes in those pubs in
the They do, yes. Yeah. Funky Town's a common one in the pub.
Funky Town. Hum a few bars. How does that go?
Not today.
No?
Yeah. That was by an Australian group, wasn't it? Didn't Pseudo Echo do Funky Town?
No. It's probably a newer version.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, good luck today. We're going to come over and barrack for you.
Thank you. That would be good.
Tars, we'll be over there.
It'll be a good one way to keep warm anyway, running around on the
netball
court.
It will be. Certainly will be.
Yeah, hey, what's the coldest place to play?
Probably here.
Yes.
You picked a good day.
Yeah, didn't we?
That's only a slight zephyr today. I can imagine if the wind did get up, it would be nice and chilly.
No, it was raining last time we played here, so this is a little bit nicer.
It's a terrific day. It's just a shame that we're sitting not in the sun, but anyway. And there are 8 blokes at the moment trying to get the gas heater working. It's fantastic. The one thing they haven't got at the goods and services auction is 2 hours of heater maintenance.
Just 2 hours next to the heater.
Hey, thanks, Tara. Tara McGrath from the Inglewood B-grade netball team. Do you just call yourselves the Blues or something?
The Blues.
The Blues.
Yes.
Go Blues.
Or the Woodies.
Or the Woodies.
Yes.
Oh, it's in Inglewood.
Yes.
All right, go Tars.
Go Tars. Billy?
Yes, Covey?
I just had a quick look at the clock, see we're coming up towards news time, but you might just have a bit of country news to share with us before we go to the real news.
I do have, Covey, and also a couple of people have texted in.
Yep.
Greg Critchley has said that he lived in Mitty from 57 to 59, and his dad was a station master. He suggests that you may want to ask someone up there about the building of the Olympic-sized pool. When he went back a couple of years ago, it had shrunk.
It's just a Commonwealth Games size one now.
And Jim has asked whether Champs can do a song for Midiamo to the tune of Tiamo.
Nice matchup. Yeah.
And going around the grassroots footy world, the SMW Rovers Football and Netball Club, which is Streatham, Mininera and Westmere, will have the Liston brothers today, Tony and Jock, playing their 350th and 300th games respectively, at the Connor Wilson Reserve.
Is it today or next week?
Let's have a look here. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon, 3rd of July.
So advance notice for everyone to get down and watch them playing a combined 650 games.
That's right, at the Connor Wilson Reserve. They're playing Karamit.
Yep.
So that's a bit of fun. Also, for our listeners who podcast regularly, we've had a bit of trouble. Young Andy's been putting them up there, but they're not sticking. They're falling off the fridge.
I think they've been using this tower at Mitty to post them.
We do say hello to Simon Greaves, who listens in Macau, and he plays for the Macau Lightning football team in the East Asian footy tournament.
Oh, we must go there for the OB next year.
Yes, and in the North Central League, there's some umpire milestones today. Dean Goodridge, Graham Allen and Kenny Holland are all playing significant games. Goodridge officiating his 800th.
800
games.
And that's between Donald and Wedderburn. Allen's bringing up his 200th. And 150 games for umpire Holland. So congratulations, gentlemen.
Years on air, doing a top stir for football and dragging you along for the ride. What? You want to come? By all means. To paraphrase, Gabby Jeans, we're all silly sausages. Or at least footy franks. So let us give thanks to the powers that be for letting the coulda beans rip for free. Coulda beans, tell it like it is.
Oh, yes. Thank you once again, Uncle. And Covey here heading up the Coulda Beans broadcast from Midiamo this afternoon. And hello once again to Greg Champion.
Yes, good afternoon, Australia and the world.
Torchy McGee.
Yes, good afternoon, Covey, and good afternoon to everyone out there.
Cheerio to Jeff Richo Richardson, who's got a hot spot.
Yes. Been laid up with a hot spot.
And we're in the cold spot at the moment, watching Mitty playing Inglewood in the under-17s. We're in the last quarter. Mitty 11-8 lead, Inglewood 2-2. And back in the studios in Melbourne is Billy Baxter. Good afternoon to you, Billy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and listeners. Yes, I was to be at the MCG for an 11 o'clock broadcast, and I was, but not the Mitiamo Cricket Ground. I was at the other one.
Also at the other one last night was Gerard Whateley from Grandstand, and I imagine Gerard has joined you in the studio, Billy.
Indeed, he is here.
Billy, hello, Gerard. Lads. How are you?
Yes, morning, Gerard. Now, notice that Covey hasn't said a lot about last night. He's
been quiet about it.
Our focus is on country football today.
I thought you might have something to say about Geelong's performance.
You've
got
to be good
Gerard.
In defeat as well as in victory. No, that was good for St Kilda, wasn't it? It was particularly good for their fans. They utterly dominated the second half, and I think most of us were astounded that a team would hold Geelong goalless through a half of football and scoreless through a quarter. Now, they've done this to many an inferior side over the past year and a half, but to do it against the benchmark and one of the great teams, that franks their possibilities for the remainder of the season.
Yes. Gerard, was there any indication at half-time that this was going to eventuate?
No. I think Geelong had seized the momentum through kicking, I think it was 4 goals in 6 minutes in that second term. Mooney had a chance late in the term to make it 20 points at the break. It ended up being 16. It was still game on at that stage. I didn't think Geelong had broken St Kilda, but I think most people at that stage would have felt like Geelong might just either hold that or edge away, but certainly not the swing we saw, which was 5-0, genuinely nil, in that third term.
What was it built on?
It was built on hard work, actually. Most of it was attitude. Really strong, fierce tackling, which is what St Kilda have made their brand. And then they got their 5 goals from their small forwards, and Jack Stephen in particular, who probably snuck up on the opposition, I would say. He booted 3 goals. Schneider got off the leash at regular stages throughout the night, and then Milne bobbed up. So, yeah, there was a lot to like about what they did. I would caution against drawing conclusions to shape the entire season.
I've got to mention one of the things that probably wasn't a lot mentioned in the paper, but I thought that the Michael Gardner's performance last night was a bit of a driving force for the Saints last night.
Goes well against Geelong, and that's entirely commendable. I remember that round 14 game last year. He was probably the best player on the ground. The other bloke who was a genuine surprise, having not been at the business end last year, James Gwilt, who thrashed Podsy Adley, but also exerted his influence to be the best player on the ground. And he did nothing wrong, from his smothering to his gathering to his drive off half-back. He didn't get beaten in a contest, to my eye, all night.
Do you think there's a possibility that Steve Johnson might have a case to answer during the week?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Johnson and Baker will both get suspended for the deeds of last night. And there's much debate as to what transpired. The instigator was clearly Baker from before the opening siren. The umpires did nothing to shut it down, and it escalated and escalated. At one stage, Baker put a punch square on Johnson's chin, and then Johnson's thrown his elbow back and split Baker open. He's left him with a Rocky Balboa-like black eye. It was swollen, slippery, Mick.
Didn't Chris Judd do that the other week?
Yes. So you could get completely bogged down in that, but you can't treat that as a precedent. You just have treat that as a complete and utter stuff-up.
You could say that Steve Johnson's done a service to football, so he might be able to get off on that page.
I think they'll
throwing the elbow back cost that player a red card, I think the Italian. No,
yes. I think they'll both be looking at sort of 2 or 3 weeks.
So, that's one of those ones you can say the repercussions from last night will reverberate for some time, Gerard.
Yeah, they will. And it'll be an interesting debate because we got the snippet of it, I guess, through the duel with Judd last week. It seemed to me to be escalated even a little further last night, and you know, it's got both players in significant trouble, I would have thought.
Gerard,
yes.
We know what a great fan you are of Frio.
Yes, yes.
And at this time last week, I was mentioning how I was going to the MSO last Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
who were doing sporting scores, including playing all the club's songs.
Oh, and did they do heave-ho?
Well, we said this last Saturday, said, here's a challenge for the MSO, doing the old heave-ho. Can I tell you? Well, I won't tell you. I've actually been able to obtain the recording of the performance from last Saturday night, and you be the judge of how it sounds when it's performed by the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Truth, Bacharach.
It's like the wagons are rolling over the hill, isn't it?
It sounded more like a 1960s war, like combat.
Spaghetti
like
Western or
that is so good as to be unrecognisable. Because the start is that's the score from the Hunt for Red October, yeah. And then it turns into a jaunty Western.
On the night, several people I spoke to on the night and subsequently who were there said it was actually the best of all the clubs. I couldn't believe how good it sounded.
Well, that's Richard Stay at the orchestra, and it doesn't work as a football
Well, I think the MSO has got to be engaged to record that to be played as they run out now, not that one they play.
Now, Jared, speaking of Frio, I mean, a lot of people had come to the conclusion that it was really out of the two teams that played last night, they would be there again on grand final day. Are Frio any chance to sneak up there?
Probably not for grand final day. I think they can genuinely challenge for the top four. They sit third at the moment. Collingwood can go back past them if they win tonight. Logic would dictate the first time that you challenge in these circumstances, particularly with a young team, that fatigue will play a role at some stage, and maybe keep them to fourth or fifth. Fifth's not a terrible result because they'd get to host a final against eighth, and I suspect they'd hand out a walloping in an elimination final, and then they could take their chances in a semi-final in Melbourne. They don't strike me as a premiership chance, but what they're doing is highly commendable.
Well, it'll get better for them if they can adopt that MSO performance every time they run out. It'll inspire them. Gerard, what's on this afternoon in the absence of live football coverage?
Mark McClure and Chris Grant are going to convene for All Matters Football. Mark Thompson will join us to talk about what took place last night, as well as Andrew McWalter from the Saints. And in our second hour, this is a bit of a crazy idea, but that's the literal interpretation of it. We're opening the lines to any crazy idea you've ever had about football, given the AFL has opened things up to, they want to remodel the competition, they want your say. Today we're taking your crazy ideas. So if you drive people mad, and if you drive me mad with emails throughout the various weeks, today's the day. Table your crazy ideas. We want every call to start with, I've got a crazy idea, and expand from there. And Mark McClure, I can promise you, is going to show the way. And the only question will be whether he'll be restricted to one crazy idea or whether he might get up to three or four.
Well, I've got a crazy idea. I'd love to listen, but I'm going over to watch the netball between Inglewood and Mitty and then adjourning to the Legends Bar, which is behind the goals here.
Nice.
I hope that they've got it tuned to ABC Radio, though, so I can listen to not only the crazy ideas, but also Mark Thompson from last night. Hey, Gerard.
Kobe, I'll interject here and let Gerard know that the power is out at the building here, and we're having trouble with the phone line, so people may have to text their phone numbers in.
Really?
And we'll call them back. It might be fixed by the time you get to air, Gerard, but that's what we've had to do this morning.
Well, that's
so
crazy.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I've got a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Text your phone numbers here.
Good on you, Jared.
Cheers.
Jared Waitley from Grandstand, of course, the guru of Grandstand.
Look, well might you say that the Frio song has been saved, but nothing will save the Port Power song.
That went all right too, quite frankly. Hey, look, we're at Midiama, as I said, in the Loddon Valley League. They're playing Inglewood today. The under-17s, 11-8-1. The home team have beaten Inglewood 4-2. The twos are on the ground. They're just warming up. There's one ex-bloke here in a North Melbourne jump. He's that tall. I thought it was Spider Burton for a minute. The Midi's most famous son, as far as football goes, is Ken Sheldon. And Kenny is he's not here today, but he's on the phone to talk to us on the Cuddabeens. Good afternoon and welcome, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Billy. Good afternoon to all.
Yeah, and say hello to all your mates here at Midi in front of the club rooms.
It is fantastic, mate. It's a good spot, and I'm sure you'll enjoy your bit of fun in the Legends Bar afterwards.
Have you attended in the Legends Bar yourself over the journey, Kenny?
I have had an occasion there, yes. Yeah, you could say that. But they were the old changing sheds in the when I was a kid.
Right. Did you start in the juniors here?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was where the fun was. And you used to have to walk up the wood to get the showers hot for the guys after training. And that was the trick. And those two that little area there where you are in behind the goals, well, both teams used to get changed in those small little rooms. And then
how old were you when you started playing here?
I think I was 14. I started playing 14, 15, started playing, running around in the first, played, I think my first game there one of the first finals was against, Inglewood out at Yarrawalla, actually. So, there's a couple of, that's a long time ago. And, actually Johnny Forbes used to run around in the reserves those days.
Did he?
So, that was fantastic.
Are you a genuine original Mitty boy?
Yeah, you could say that. My father, he finished his apprenticeship as a blacksmith in Bendigo and got his actual first job as a share farmer up at a place called Canary Island. And in the interview, Mr. Chalmers asked him if he could play football. The answer was yes, so he got the job and he actually played at Macorna, which is in the Clangan District League, probably half an hour north of where you are there.
Yep.
Then we come to Mum and Dad bought themselves the local shop there and continued to farm. The old man was a farmer and continued to do that at Midiama. So I played my first senior game of footy at Midiama, having played in the juniors there where Dad coached.
So we'll just put a call out to any blokes that are currently playing AFL. Any of you got a father who's a blacksmith?
Yeah, exactly.
That must be some sort of record, Kenny.
Hello, Ian. That's all right, isn't it, Ian? Yeah, so that's good. But one of the great stories with him, Ian, was that his coach actually worked with him at the railway workshops, and they dropped him one game, and the old man used to pick him up on the way to work. Anyway, on the Monday, he just drove straight past.
Oh, that's great.
So now, Kenny, these days are a bit different because all the juniors go through the under-18s like the Bendigo Pioneers, but how did you get your call up to Carlton when you were a young fella?
Yeah, in those days, I used to have what they call it, the scouts. It was all zoned. Midiama there's right on the edge of the Geelong zone. I was in Carlton, so Carlton, Bendigo, of course, district, and Geelong's a bit further north. So I was always a Geelong supporter. So Billy McMaster, who was a recruiting manager there at Geelong in those days, used to spend quite a bit of time in our lounge room, and we were very keen to go there. But Carlton had their recruiting scouts around the district, and blokes like Keith Mills and those sort of fellows had their tentacles out, and they were they invited me down on what was called a permit system. A few of the guys from Midiama, like Philip Harrison and Glenn Laurie and those sort of blokes, Dale Pike, all those sort of blokes, from time to time got an invitation down. Peter Collins from Bridgewater was also invited down on a number of occasions. They were great country players that sort of got through the duration of their footy times, and I was fortunate enough, I suppose, to be just, I don't know, kicked a couple of goals, did a few things, I suppose, down there as a 16-year-old, having played in what was called the schoolboy carnival system in them days. Yeah. And you played in the permit games, Ian. 1976, played in 4 games. And then in 77, Carlton put me through school and shifted to Melbourne full-time and sort of been there ever since.
Another one we let get away, Ian.
There's another one we missed out on down the Cats.
The mighty Cats. You've had a good run with him, Ian, of late.
Yeah, it's been very good, Kenny. Now, when you went down as a youngster, Ian Marlowe went down with you. We met Ian, who won the best and fairest here 9 times. They reckon he was better than you, but he did his ankle.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. There's no doubt about that. Ian was fantastic, I tell you, and his old man was even better. He's tough as nails, Alan.
Alan?
His brother Kevin. But his old man, I got a corky in the buttock there one day at Callaway in the grand final, and I don't know if you've ever had penetrine poured down your backside, but let me tell you, you're thinking about your corky. So he was one of those traders that used to ask you where it hurt, and then he'd say, sure, how much? he'd push his fingers into the spot, and away you go. Ian was one of the finest country players. There's a lot of legends. You know, it's fantastic. Like where guys sort of get a break, and for whatever reason something occurs, either life on the farm, an injury, or they meet a young girl, or whatever happens, and they decide to, I suppose, look elsewhere other than travel to Melbourne to make the break. Like Tony Southcombe was one of the great ones out of Bendigo that played a 10 or so games and then returned to his. I think with guys like Ian Marlowe and Philip Harrison, who won best and fairest and league medals in and around that district, including the Loddon Valley, were certainly fantastic players and fantastic blokes too that really put back into the footy club, which is the spirit of the community.
Mm. But there were a lot of Bendigo boys who actually did stay at Carlton and played there. You must have played with quite a few guys from this area.
Yeah, that's right. Roddy Ashman. He kicked 100 goals in the under-18 competition and then went down and was runner-up in the Brownlow medal. So as a rover, he was one of the finest, of course. Mm. Peter McConville. Jimmy Buckley was, a 16-year-old out of Kyneton. We played in the schoolboy footy. So, that's along with guys like Jeff Southby and Trevor Keogh and, just so many... wonderful players that played in and around the Bendigo district, and Michael Gallagher was the other player out of the Loddon Valley that went down and played with the Blues as a ruckman. Mm. Johnny's boy David, came down and played a number of games in the reserves. He was a fine player, David, and Barry Finlay, who was probably a better cricketer than a footballer, but him and his brother Alan were fantastic footballers in the bush.
Hey, we're talking to Ken Sheldon here on the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. And, of course, Ken, you figured in one of the great moments of football history at Carlton when everyone talks about Wayne Harms knocking the ball across to the goal square, and you were the recipient of his knock-on. And perhaps for the benefit of Collingwood fans, you probably had a good view. Was the ball in or out?
Yeah, well, there's always a couple of answers to that one, of course. And if you do barrack for Collingwood, the answer was, well, yes, it was just slightly out. But not normally like that, Ian, of course. I don't know what comes over me when I get asked that question. But Wayne Harms was, he's the one that I think he comments all the time that it was actually in. So I don't really doubt that that's the case, but... Anyway, it gives them something to talk about, doesn't it?
Who was the best player that you played with in your time at Carlton? And I'll just let you know that Mark McClure is in the building, Kenny.
Uh-huh. And, of course, Sellers. Mark was a great player, actually, a fantastic player. And he used to play Shanar Ford and work away. But I think, undoubtedly, probably Bruce Doole was the best that all us young blokes had the pleasure of playing with. He won 4 best and fairest.
Did he ever speak to you?
Yeah, well, not very often, but contrary to the legend, he actually is a fantastic fellow, and him and his wife Sandy made a great contribution to us young fellows at the footy club.
Yeah. Now, we all know that you had a coaching career down there at the Saints, but have you ever had any thoughts of coming back up the bush and coaching in the country?
Well, I coached Echuca, which is 30 mile there to your west. That's sort of, if you like, home, the district. Like, father was in Bendigo, and then we sort of, well, Midiomo, but then Echuca is where everybody is nowadays. My mum and dad, my wife's mum and dad, my brother and sister, like, you know, everybody should have been in Echuca. If they're not in Midiomo, you would have watched young Riley running around the under 17s out there, Riley Thomas.
Yeah,
it was a Riley.
Dylan and Nash, well, they're all there with the playing with Midi Ammo. All the girls play, the nieces, a lot of them play with the, in the netball, where you are over there. Those facilities are a lot better than they were in the days. You know, there's a bit of wind protection and all that sort of stuff now, so it's all good. But, yeah, I coached Echuca in the Golden Valley League for a couple of years, and, you know, we had a bit of fun there, mate.
Well, it's great to reminisce with you today on the Could Have Been Champions, and... I'm sure everyone listening, and particularly the people here at Midi, have enjoyed hearing you, and they always love seeing you back here whenever you're available. So, Kenny, thanks for your time this morning. We know you're overseas, and there might be some issues with time and all that. It was great of you to take our call. Thanks, Ken.
Pleasure, Ian, and wish Forbesy well for us, mate. Cheers now.
And goodbye, Kenny. And Kenny, you're right, the wind protection's improved a lot. You huddle behind the glass door here.
Ken Sheldon there, of course, the most famous son of Mitty, of course, great career at Carlton and down at the Saints and all.
And given that we've just heard Kenny say that he came back to the district, I'll just let our listeners know that Nigel Lappin is playing a one-off game for his former club Chilton.
Chilton.
In the Tallangatta Football League.
And today?
This weekend,
I think you might find that's Tallangatta.
Tallangatta, beg your pardon.
As an assistant coach at Geelong these days, he may not be allowed to. He might have to go straight down to Geelong for the review today.
I once knew a bloke who played a bit of footy in Wangaratta, and they played against Chilton one day, and there were 16 Lappins in the team.
I think the back line was Lappin. The quiz question, what were the other two names?
That's right.
I think it'll come to me. We're now going to have a chat to the non-playing coach of Inglewood, Graham Abbott, who's joined us in the broadcast position. Inglewood, of course, have travelled to Mitty. G'day, Graham.
Thanks, Coz. Yeah, pleasure to be here today. Things haven't changed much at Mitty up here. They still have high tensile steel to keep the dogs on the chains because that blows something horrible up here, doesn't it?
We figured it might... This is only a zephyr, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, it's early in the day, though. These tables and chairs will be gone shortly.
Well, I'm going to the Legends Bar, which has its back to the wind.
Yeah, that's why they built it there. I mean, some of the smart committee thought this is what we're going to do in the future for this club.
So if your captain wins the toss, will you be telling him to kick against the wind or with the wind?
Well, yeah, it just blows this side, doesn't it? They got the goals at the wrong ends, basically, I think.
And, Graeme, are you a former Inglewood player?
No, I'm not. I'm the first coach they've appointed that's actually had nothing to do with Inglewood as a player.
An outsider?
Yes. So I actually come to the club with possibly a fresh outlook and some new ideas.
That won't last.
No. Oh, no. It's a bit like politicians, isn't it? You know, going there the greatest thoughts and, and it just turns to dirt.
Is your first year, is it?
No, second year. Last year. Some second year. So... I've sort of recruited a group of young blokes. Hopefully we've been keeping together for 4 or 5 years. Most of them are 19 to 23. Some of the clubs in our league have sort of inflated the league with throwing some silly money around for a short-term fix. I don't think that works. I think when you come to a footy club, if you're going to leave it in a better condition than when you got there, that's what's needed to be done. Quick fix, you're up there for 5 minutes and then the bottom drops out of it. So
what's your footballing background then? Your road to Inglewood?
Road to Inglewood. When I played, I played at the club Northern United, which is folded up there in the Bendigo League. I played at Pyramid Hill for a while. I was up in Brisbane, coached at Golden Square, and I hadn't done it for a couple of years, and then Inglewood sort of tracked me down, and I thought, they seem like a good group of blokes, and from their previous coach, there was about 16 of the senior group left, just for particular reasons. So last year. I think the first game the Rezzies had about 14 blokes when they ran out. And I thought, well, this isn't going to happen under my watch again. So this year we've signed our 70th player.
70?
For the seniors and seconds. That's not the thirds. And, of course, the thirds have got up and going again. They didn't have a side last year. So things are looking good out there. I think it's, yeah, it's a good place to be. And, you know, we had 140 at the ball last week, so...
Where did you hold the ball? At the club or...?
No, they had it at the playing room in Bendigo, at one of the local pubs and that sort of thing. We found that a lot of the boys like to go to the nightclubs after and that sort of thing. So, by the time they get on the bus and come in from Inglewood from the ball they had there last year, they're rather burnt and wasted at that stage. So, yeah, it's like unloading sheep, isn't it?
Now, there'd be a lot of country clubs that'd like to know your secret. How did you manage to be able to fill your playing list so quickly?
Well, I think if you're fair and honest and open with people, as I said, I don't tell any lies because my memory's not that good. So if you treat every player the same, there's no segregation between seniors and seconds. You go out there and you spend time coaching. I mean, I look at guys nowadays, and from when I played, you know, possibly 25 years ago, there are a lot of distractions out there in the community now, you know, mainly with drugs and things like that, that young blokes sort of, you know, I think if you give them the right guidance, if you give them an opportunity, I found that through football, just like octopus's arms, the people you meet and the way it sets you up socially and even employment-wise, you'd meet a good group of people. And I think that's what football clubs need to look at.
So that's the secret.
Yep.
And so you would, and these young fellows that have come along, some of them have come out of Bendigo or out of other regions?
Yeah, we get a lot of players. Just at the moment, the demographics at Inglewood, there's an older population, and as you've seen with the kids here, there's a lot of young kids there that are around that 12, 13, 14 bracket. But you find the players are the best recruiters of the lot because other players talk to them and they say, oh, yeah, Inglewood, good club to be. And we've just had guys just turn up wanting to come out and play. Now, but players put that out there and they want to come.
So when you are at a small regional centre and you have a very limited pool to draw from, so you have to go to your nearest larger country centre to drag players out of there.
Yeah, you do. I looked at last year and thought, well, it's no good trying to poach blokes out of the Loddon Valley because you've got the same people going around. In the Bendigo League, with the reserve grade, a lot of those players are targeted, and you find that there's only so many fish in the bowl, and the sharks are circling around. So I thought I'll give that away. I've got some players from the Shepparton League, over in Wedderburn, Pecola League. Went upgrading leagues. Basically.
They're travelling a fair way to play.
Yeah, they do travel. But that's, you know, I mean, modern cars, and that's how footy is today, champs.
Talking to the cars, we've got cars ringing almost the entire ground here today, and it's a very big ground. Actually, would this be one of the bigger grounds in the comp?
Yeah, this. And Pyramid Hills is possibly the biggest ground in the comp. But yeah, you find that the country footy is still alive and well. I don't know whether the people in the AFL ever actually come out of the glass-fronted houses they live in and have a look at it. But, yeah, people love to come to the footy of a Saturday. You know, it's a tremendous tradition, and they meet people, and, it's a social network.
I'm particularly interested in a ute on the far side that's actually backed in. They've got the lid up, and they're probably having a little kip in the back before the match. That's a nice look. Hey, Graham, you've won 3 and lost 6, and Mitty are 7-2.
Yep.
You got, you know what, they're not listening at the moment. You got a secret plan devised to knock them off?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hey, if you don't go in there with a secret plan, whether the players listen to it or not, who cares? A, B, C and Z, haven't you?
So, but you'll be playing to win. You're not coaching like Tim Verbeek.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, we're a fair old show today. I mean, as I said, we started with a group of guys at the start of the year that some of them hadn't played senior football at all, and they hadn't played together. I almost had name tags on them as they run out on the ground because, it was here, mate, who are you? 6 or 7 games later, we're now starting to work as a unit and they know who everybody is. So, I know we're a fair show of sticking it up on you today.
Last year you were 5'11", Graham.
That's Billy back in the studio, Graham.
Yeah.
G'day, Graham. 5'11" last year, you've won 3, so you're well on the way to eclipsing last year's performance.
Yeah, certainly, Billy. Yeah, and I mean, a fortnight ago, Calival We lost by 4 points to them. One of the boys had a snap with about 30 seconds to go, and it went the wrong side of the post. So, I mean, they've won 7 out of the last 8 grand finals or something. Yeah. So, it's a fact of getting belief in the players that we can do it.
Hey, Graham, what do you do during the week? For work?
I used to be a timber cutter. I used to work in the forest at a business of firewood and that, but of course, the government and that decided, well, let's just burn it in the bushfires rather than use it for productive means. Not that I'm...
Graham, why don't you pull your punches?
Graham hasn't missed too many. He's got the AFL and the state government today. I'm glad I'm not playing under him.
Straight up the guts for Graham.
Well, hey, why take a sword to a gunfight, eh? So, but at the moment I've got a travel agency, Escape Travel, in the marketplace in Bendigo.
All right. Well, yeah. For all your end-of-season trip needs.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so we've got a few of the boys going away from some of the other clubs. So, it's just something different. But, I thoroughly enjoy coaching. I think it's a great challenge and, I really enjoy it.
That's clearly evident in the way you're talking to us today, Graham. And thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
Here at the Could Have Beens broadcast from Midiamo, Graham Abbott, the coach of Inglewood. Good luck this afternoon. I'll be up behind the goals in the Legends Bar giving you a bit of hurry up. We've got number 22 here for Inglewood. Yeah,
Big Reggie.
Big Reggie's right.
Yeah, he's got a personal trainer. I don't think he should be. I don't think he should be paying her though, really. He's got a couple of axe handles across the back end.
He's a big man. Daniel Ridgway.
A lovely pass.
Not an easy kick.
Thanks, yes. Guys. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Graham.
Good on you, Graham. Champy's picked up the guitar.
Yes. And Cove.
Yeah.
When they do toot their horns for a goal, and it's quite a big noise, then it just reminds you that when on air and the Could Have Beens, when we ask the cars to toot their horns to let us know that they're hearing us on air, how ridiculous that would sound in the middle of play.
Well, do we want to try it now just to see if anyone
the
is?
The car horn test.
Anyone's in the car at the moment listening to us, give us a toot now.
I saw... Now all the players on the field will go, what the...
The ball went out of bounds.
And for that car over there that turned its lights on, we're on radio. Yeah.
But there he is, he's flashing his lights over there in the forward pocket.
Oh, that's great. The first time there's been a chorus of calls when a ball's gone out of bounds for a throw-in.
All the players must be so confused on the ground.
Oh, that's great. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Go, go, use Kiwis. Use were sensational. Go, go, use Kiwis. Use were terrific. Go, go, use Kiwis. You were magnificent. Use mighty Kiwis. Use are the best. Go, go, use Kiwis. Use were legendary. Go, go, use Kiwis. Use were stupendous. Go, go, use Kiwis. Use were tremendous. Everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. Yous weren't intimidated. We were exhilarated. Should be congratulated for what you did. Yous made the world sit up and pay attention. Yous mighty Kiwis. How good was that? Yous mighty Kiwis. Yous are the best.
Greg Champion, is that the one with your accent in it? Is that
that's right.
That Torch was talking about right. earlier. Is that the one? Billy, how did that sound to you?
I love South African accents.
It sounded to me like an Adelaide accent.
Oh, dear, Champion. Are they...
I recorded it this week.
Oh, did you?
Thought of it this week, recorded it, got it over to Lindy Burns.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Lindy played it.
Lindy played it?
Yeah, gave it a run. That's terrific. Is it being played on New Zealand radio? No,
I'm working on that.
Well, they did have a New Zealand journalist on air when they played it, so you never know.
Oh, well, Andy tells me that Rotten Ron knows of the Kiwi radio station, so Ronnie,
I wouldn't put it on that radio station.
So having already created an international incident with your songs during the last Ashes series in Australia, are you now creating one with New Zealand?
I'm baiting them. No, this is meant with respect, Ian.
Yeah, because you said they were terrific.
That's right.
What were they again?
They were magnificent.
And terrific. Thanks, Champy. Now, just before we go to talk back, that's, of course, if we can get that tower to get the signal through. That's another question.
Billy, are we getting any calls through in the studio?
There are a few lined up already, Torchy, right. So they've managed to clear the way for Torch's talk back.
Okay, we'll be going to that in about 60 seconds, but first of all, we just better say thanks to Trevor Mitchell, who's the president. Hello, Trev. Hang on, just wait till Ronnie turns you on.
No worries, it's better.
That's better. Congratulations on your coaching performance with the under-17s.
Oh, it's awesome, wasn't it? Bomo wants me to come down and give Geelong a hand.
Yeah, thanks, Trev. Although you did say you were letting the boys do their own thing today, and they certainly responded.
They're a pretty good bunch of boys. They take their footy serious, even though it's country footy. They love their footy. I forgot to, Ian, this is Joy, our president of our netball. We forgot a netball.
Yeah, no, yes. We spoke to Joy.
No, we spoke to Joy during the, well, not on air, but we had a chat to her. She took us over and showed us all the netball premiership photos
very good.
On the wall.
The juniors were good, so Bomber, I'm here when you need me, mate.
All right, yep. There's even a lovely photo of Joy when she played in the premiership.
Yeah, yeah, no. And
in black and white,
I remember.
Awesome. And you've got other duties today to do, because you now run around with the seniors as the water boy.
I've just put the spit on, the tea, and I'll go do rubs in a minute, and then I'll run water for the seniors.
That's fantastic.
I hope you wash your hands before you go back to the spit.
It's hot, so it kills all germs. Then hopefully I can come and have a beer with Ian at the end of the day.
Well, thank you for your hospitality up here last night and today, too. It's great to be having such a warm welcome at Middy. Trev?
Sections greatly appreciate you guys coming up, and I'm sure it's made Johnny's day. It'll make him get better quicker, and so thanks to you guys. Excellent.
Thank you.
Terrific, Trevor. Now, Torchy?
Yes?
I think everything's working. We're standing by for your Mitty Ammo version of Torch's talkback. So first caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Oh, g'day, Torch.
Who's calling, please?
It's Danny here, mate.
Danny, you're calling from Footscray, is that right?
Yeah, Droop Street in Footscray, mate.
Well, the dogs are going pretty well. They're really knocking on the door now, Danny.
Oh, I'm a bit worried, mate. I'm a bit worried about Acker, what he was saying during the week.
Yeah, just because he's in the top five, you don't agree with him?
Oh, mate, I mean, he was saying he was top 10, even top five. I don't think we've got anyone in the top five down at the Dogs. Bottom five, maybe. Maybe they're all in the bottom five.
All right, now, who they got next week, the Dogs, Daddy?
I don't know, it'll be a loss anyway, mate.
All right,
Just chalk it up.
All right, I think we might have to leave that one there. Are we ready for our next call, Ron? Okay, go ahead, please.
Young McGee?
Yes, it is. Hello, who's calling,
Peter,
please? Peter, where are you calling from?
Peterborough.
Down in Peterborough. Now, Peter, I think you've called before, is that correct?
Yes, I did. I enjoy your talk about country football. Why don't you come down here?
We would love to come to Peterborough. I'm sure you'd look after us, Peter.
We'd love to have you down here. I'm not going up to that Maitamo, was it?
Mitiamo.
I'm not coming up there.
Why is that?
That Trevor Mitchell you were talking to.
Yes.
Who's got the spit roast on for tonight's tea.
Yes.
He refused to buy his beef from me. I've been bringing prime Hereford beef down here now for 128 years.
Right.
And he refuses to use it.
Right, Peter.
Well, he knows where he can stick his water bottle.
Okay. Have you got a message for him?
To that young players up there.
Yes.
Show you plenty of discipline.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
And to the Geelong Football Club.
Yes.
More discipline.
Okay. Ooh,
and young Thompson.
Yes.
More discipline.
Thank you, Peter. No, I think the message is coming through loud and clear. We're right again, Ron.
Where's young champion?
Okay.
More discipline with your guitar.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Okay, next caller, please. Go ahead. Hello. Hello. The line's dropped out. That tower's come into play again, I think, Andy.
Talksy.
Next caller, yes. Go ahead, please.
What are you saying, Talks or what?
Yeah, who's that?
Wayne, mate, at the one turner.
Ah, Wayne, how you going?
The ring, I ring, and you dog me, mate.
Oh, no, we're having trouble with the connection up here. The
you're talking to that Forbesy.
Yeah, yep.
Good man.
John Forbes, yep.
He organised a jail concert, mate.
And that's right, he did.
Half a dozen of us got out. He got Rose Tattoo to play.
Yeah.
Five blokes with tattoos came in.
Yep.
11 blokes with tattoos went out. Good man, Forbesy, to
okay, thanks. You know thanks, Wayne. I got it, Wayne. That's it. Next caller. That's it. Right. And Guru Bob. Is Guru Bob available today, Ron? Guru Bob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Where are you?
I'm out here. Where are you?
I'm just hiding in the canteen. No, I'm over at Woomerlang.
Woomerlang? How did you get to Woomerlang?
Oh, I took a wrong turn at Bort. I got lost.
You're not the first person to do that, Guru Bob. You realise that?
Can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. Now, if you're looking at a game for us this week, Guru Bob.
I got some advice for you.
Yes.
Do a good show today.
Right, thank you, Guru Bob.
No, that's all. I just want to say, remember the old saying.
Yes, what is that old saying?
Well, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but they had the cappuccino machine up by lunchtime.
Thank you.
Think about that.
I am thinking about it.
Thank you. That cracks me up.
And they've also got a cappuccino machine here at Midiano.
They have and a focaccia machine too.
That's very nice.
Looking forward to having a crack at that as well. So did Guru tip any?
No, I think he was going for Midi though.
Was he?
Yes.
Good. He might just fly in on his magic carpet and get caught on that tower.
That's right. Mm.
Well, we're winding up towards the finish of the Could Have Been Champion Special Edition today, our outside broadcast from the Midiano Footy Club.
Yes.
In the Loddon Valley League, where they're playing Inglewood today, in the main game at the moment, in reserves, 3-3 Midi to Inglewood, 3 goals. And as we do wind up, we might just do the car horn test one final time, just to thank the people that have been at the ground listening to us today. Car horns, please toot.
Very good. Quite a few Japanese cars there, obviously, Coe.
There's a few that are built tough for Aussie conditions, Bill, but not all of them.
Well, Midi are going into this second on the ladder as we speak, so...
Yep, there'll be a bit of car horn tooting today.
Okay.
Yeah. And... look, thanks for the hospitality. It's been good fun.
And now they could have been adjourned to the Legends Bar to warm up and enjoy the hospitality.
Yeah,
we will. And let's say once again, the get well soon to John Forbes and the Jeff Richardson, who's not with us today.
Yeah. Yes, we enjoy.
And they're missing out on a great day.
They are indeed, but I hope we've brought some of the colour and atmosphere to you all the today. Thanks to Rotten Ronnie, who's been back on the road with us today doing all the knob twiddling, which he's very good at. Got him out of master control. Great to see you, Ron.
Yes, sir.
And to young Andy, our producer as well, and Mark back in the studio. Good morning from the Could Have Been Champions.